You guys can go ahead and grab a seat. My name is Alex Marquez. I'm one of the pastors here. Benson, it's so good to be with you this morning. I love the fact that I get to come back to this place and be a part of this church family. So my wife and I have been traveling kind of all over the place, and it feels good to be home. And that's where we feel like we are right now. And so if you guys are new or you're visiting, if this is your first time here, I just want to welcome you to our Sunday morning worship gathering. And if you would, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. I'm going to be finishing out our four-part summer series on the book of Proverbs. And as you guys are turning there, I want to spend just a little bit of time setting up this text. Because I don't know if you noticed, but as Ashley was reading it, this is not your typical coffee cup bumper sticker Bible verse, right? This is one of those, oh man, if that's what we're going to be talking about, I'm actually not sure I wanted to come to church today, right? There was something about disaster and calamity falling upon us. This text straight up says, I will mock you, right? I will make fun of you when terror comes on you like a storm, when disaster falls on your life, I'm going to mock you. I'm going to call up Kevin Hart. We're going to make some jokes about you. We're going to laugh not with you, but at you. We're going to hit the road and we're going to make some money. We're going to laugh at your pain, right? That's what this text actually just said. Not one of the most encouraging Bible verses ever. So my question is, what's going on here? What's happening in this text? Who is this person that's talking? What does this mean? And why should you guys listen? Why should you tune in to what we're about to talk about here this morning? So the answer to kind of those questions is found in the purpose of the book of Proverbs. You see, Proverbs is a really popular book, and it's known a lot for, you know, its clever sayings and kind of lists of do's and don'ts. Kind of when most people think about Proverbs, they think about good advice, right? And for sure, Proverbs has that in it, but Proverbs is about so much more than just good advice, okay? See, the book of Proverbs is trying to explain to me and to you what kind of world we live in, and how we can win at life. Okay, that's the wisdom literature in a nutshell. What kind of world do we live in, and how can we win at life? How do we handle the most important areas of our lives? How should we handle our work and our family and our relationships and our sexuality and our spirituality, right? How should we handle our finances, and what should we do with things that we have been stewarded? See, the book of Proverbs speaks into all of those life areas. But the problem is, there are a lot of other voices out there that are speaking into those areas too. There are a lot of other voices out there painting a very different picture from the biblical one on what it looks like to win at life. They're trying to tell us some very different things about our finances and our spirituality and our sexuality and how we should handle those different things. And the question that I want to put before you this morning is, who are you going to listen to? Like, who are you going to listen to when it comes to how to handle the most sensitive and important areas of your life? Because who you listen to matters, right? The voices that you allow to speak into your life when it comes to these very delicate areas is either going to bring flourishing or it's going to bring disaster. And in our text this morning, the person that's speaking is the personified wisdom of God. We're going to get into that in a little bit. I'm just going to call her Lady Wisdom, okay? And Lady Wisdom has been pleading with these people in this town to listen to her, right? To become wise, to gain understanding and teaching, to learn what type of world it is that we're living in and what it looks like to win at life. But you see, no one does. No one's listening to her. No one's receiving her wisdom. And so she says, okay, because you guys haven't been listening to me, your life is going to fall into disaster. It's going to fall into ruin. And then you're gonna come to me, you're going to beg for me to take away the consequences, but I'm not going to. And so this morning, I need to make a little disclaimer before we hop into the text. I'm not talking about specifically salvation, right? Heaven, hell, and what it looks like to be saved, right? Because that's not what the text is talking about. The text is talking about, okay, how do we practically live? What voices should we allow to influence the decisions of our lives? Like, who should we be listening to? Because if you're in this room and you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, like, you know, you're good. right? Like if you've placed your hope in him for the forgiveness of your sins, if you've asked him to come into your life and for him to be the one that can connect you back to God, like you're going to heaven. Like there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but there can be some pretty significant consequences based on the voices that we listen to right here and right now. So, guys, this morning it's a really important morning for us because I think it's gonna give some of us the opportunity in here who have been maybe listening to some of the voices of the world and of our culture on what it looks like to live a good life. It's gonna give you a chance maybe to repent, to kind of turn from listening to that to listening to the wisdom of God. And so, who you listen to matters. And we're gonna jump into the text in our passage today. And I wanna show you guys three things just from this passage very quickly. We're gonna see deaf ears. We're going to see the disaster that actually follows it. But then we're gonna see hope. Okay, so that's my outline. If you guys wanna follow along in your note takers, we're gonna see deaf ears. We're gonna see the disaster that follows that. And then we're gonna see hope. So let's hop into this. Point number one, deaf ears. We're gonna start in verse 24. And it says this: "Because I have called you, and you've refused to listen. I've stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity." See, Lady Wisdom, again, she is saying, I've been trying to give you some advice. I've been trying to correct you. I've been trying to show you what it looks like to live a good life, to live a life that is pleasing to God. I've been trying to show you how to win in life. I've been holding out my hand, but you won't take it. You won't do that. And so, guys, there's this word. It's in the Hebrew. It's pronounced chokmah. Okay, can you say chokmah with me on three? One, two, three. Good job, guys. You're smart. Look at you. You speak Hebrew. That's awesome. I didn't know that about you. Okay, that's amazing. Okay, so chokmah is this, the Bible kind of translates it most of the time as wisdom, okay? But it's this attribute of God that God used to create the world, okay? The Bible says that God has woven chokmah into like the very fabric of creation. So that it essentially forms like this moral law of the universe. It's this cause and effect pattern that says, generally, okay, most of the time, if you do things the right way, if you live the way God wants you to live, most of the time there will be blessing in that. Like if you handle, you know, work and sex and your money like the way God tells you to do, most of the time it will go better for you. But if you choose to rebel against God and kind of throw everything he says about those areas of your life kind of out the window, most of the time things aren't going to go that great for you in those areas. And that's what this wisdom literature is talking about. And Proverbs personifies this wisdom of God, this chokmah of God as Lady Wisdom. Okay, and she roams around the earth kind of making herself available to anyone who wants to learn. She's saying, hey, come to me. I can teach you how to be wise. I can line you up with the way God has designed everything to work. I can teach you how to win at life, how to win in the most important areas of your life. But see, the people in this city, they have chosen to turn a deaf ear to Lady Wisdom. They said, you know, I don't want to listen to you. I'm not gonna listen to the wisdom of God. They have chosen to reject what she is saying about life, and that begs the question to me. I mean, who are they listening to? Right? Because all of us in this room, everyone in here, you guys right now are listening to someone. Right? We're constantly doing this. We're constantly accepting what some people say. We're agreeing with what some people say, and we're actually doing what they say, and then we're rejecting what other people say. We're agreeing with voices that tell us what we should value and how we should live and what we should strive for, and we're turning a deaf ear to others. And, you know, as I was working on this talk kind of this week, I was talking with my wife, and I just said, "Boo, what are the voices? What are the voices in our culture that we're all tempted to listen to?" That's how we talk to each other. We call each other boo. And so I'm really bad at this sort of thing of like, you know, being culturally savvy. I can't really dress myself. And anytime my wife is like the one who says, "Hey, you can't go out looking like that." And so I'm not really that in touch with culture. That's her. And so we put our heads together and we kind of came up with these three voices that we're all tempted in our culture to start listening to instead of Lady Wisdom. And so these are the three voices that we came up with. Number one is that of Frances Underwood. Okay, and so for those of you who don't know Frances Underwood, okay, he is the main character on the Netflix show House of Cards. And Frances, he's this like slick politician, and he does whatever he has to get to the top. The most important thing for him is success and power. And his voice is the one that says, hey, if you want to win at life, you need to be successful. If you want to win at life, you need power. You need money. You need to do whatever it takes in order to get ahead. You need the suit. You need the car. You need the house. If you want to win at life, you need to be successful and do whatever you have to do to get there. See, that's one of the voices that's out there, is the voice of Frances Underwood. Another voice that's out there that we're tempted to listen to instead of Lady Wisdom is that of the Kardashians, all right? And this is really where my wife helped me out, because I don't know what these people are doing or who they are, but she said, you know what, they're everywhere. You can't go on Snapchat without seeing one of these girls. You can't be in the grocery store checkout line without seeing one of them on a magazine cover or on TV. And their voice would say this: hey, if you want to win at life, right, you need to be popular. You need to get Insta famous. You need to, when you post something on Facebook or on Twitter, you need to have 500 likes, and if you don't, you're a loser. It's the voice that would tell you that you need to be beautiful, that you have to be sensual and sexy, that you have to use your body as something that other people want to desire. So you have to post promiscuous pictures on Instagram or dress in a certain way that gives you a lot of attention. And this voice would say, hey, if you want to win at life, you need to be popular and you need to be beautiful. And if you don't have those things, sorry, you've lost. And so the last voice that's out there, as we were kind of talking about this, is that of the bachelor and the bachelorette, right? And this voice would say, if you don't have the insane, over-the-top, romantic relationship, if you don't get the rose, if you don't get the guy, if you don't get the girl, then that's it. Like, you've lost. So don't be that person. Don't be left out. Do whatever you need to do to be in that relationship. Get on Tinder. Get on Coffee Meets Bagel, which is the worst name ever for an app, by the way. I don't even understand what's happening there, right? So do whatever you have to do to get into that relationship and compromise, right? Because it's all about being in love. It's all about having that special someone. So if you don't have this person, your life is empty and hollow. And see, these are the voices of our culture. They're telling us you need power in order to win at life. You need a romantic relationship, or you absolutely and totally need to be popular and beautiful. And just so you know, the Bible would not say that any of those things in and of themselves are bad. Right? Lady Wisdom would not condemn success, popularity, beauty, or romance, but she would say those things do need to be put in their proper place. Right? She would say that you wouldn't be able to love someone well until you love Jesus most. Because what you're going to end up doing is turn that other person into an idol. You'll try to have this other person meet your every single need. And listen, they weren't designed to do that. Another person was not designed to complete you. Jesus was, and they can't. So when you try to put these unfair expectations on them to be your everything, you'll end up crushing them. And Lady Wisdom would say, you know, you won't understand how to use your popularity and steward your success well until you make Jesus ultimate. Otherwise, you'll be absolutely devastated when you lose things. You will be crushed. You will feel like your life has no meaning, purpose, or value anymore. Because listen to me, no one stays beautiful forever. No one stays young forever. There's a pastor in Dallas that says, hey, gravity wins. I love that. I just think that's awesome, right? Like, nobody stays beautiful forever. No one, you are not irreplaceable at your job. At some point, your job will be filled by somebody else. And then what happens when you don't have those things anymore? Like, Jesus wants to be the person that gives us meaning, purpose, and value in life. So that those other things, the popularity, the success, the beauty, that can be just used to glorify God. Those things can just be things and not the sole thing that gives us meaning and value. So let me ask you, which of the three voices are you most prone to listen to? Is it that of Frances Underwood? Do you feel like money, power, success is the thing that drives you? Is it that of the Kardashians? Are you obsessed with yourself and your social media persona? Is that the most important thing that's driving your life, or is it that of the bachelor? Do you feel like hollow and empty if you're not in a romantic relationship? And so maybe you find yourself saying, yeah, that's me this morning. I actually listened to all three of those voices, you know? I just want to invite you to take this time to repent, to turn from listening to the voices of our culture, the ones that would say, you need these in order to win at life, in order to have a successful, meaningful, purposeful life. I wanted to ask you to repent, to turn from those things, because our text is going to say that if you don't, it's going to go badly. It's going to go really, really badly. So, like, point number one, guys, we've seen deaf ears, and now we're going to move on to disaster. We're gonna see some hard things happen. So let's hop back into our text, starting in verse 25. I'm going to read kind of a larger chunk of scripture here. It says, "Because you have ignored my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and when calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will seek me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord." Now, if you highlight or underline in your Bibles, underline that verse. Because he did not choose to fear the Lord. That's super important, and we're going to come back to it later. So, because they did not choose to fear the Lord and would have none of my counsel and despised my reproof, therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their ways, and they will have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. This is disaster. It is a picture of ruin, because these people have continually rejected the wisdom of God. And as a result, calamity has fallen on their lives. And so Lady Wisdom just says, okay, I'm going to let you eat the fruit of your ways. I'm going to let you experience the consequences of your foolishness. Now, I want to take just a little bit of time to explain like how the book of Proverbs works, because these are not ironclad promises. Okay, this is not a 100% money back guarantee. See, the Bible has promises in it. Okay, Romans 10:3 says this, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise, right? You if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it's not that you may be saved or you might one day be saved. Like, you are saved. The end. Like, that is it. That is a promise. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, right? But Proverbs doesn't really work with promises. It works more with probability, with generality. So when Proverbs says something like this, like that these people have rejected the wisdom of God, so disaster will fall on their lives, or when Proverbs says things like this, in Proverbs 10:3, that the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the cravings of the wicked. This is not a 100% guarantee. This does not mean that if you're a good person, you will never go hungry, or if you're a bad person, you're never going to get anything you want in life, because we know that's not true, right? That's not true. We have seen, I know you in this room have seen wicked people, like terrible, awful, deceitful people have incredible lives, become really rich, never miss a meal, get everything they ever wanted. And I bet a bunch of you in this room have also seen incredibly godly people, honest, hardworking, loving people die of cancer way too early. I bet you have seen, I mean, we can go on a trip to the other side of the world, we can go to Syria, and we can see devoted, loving followers of Jesus Christ die from hunger in jail cells. So what's going on here? What is Proverbs talking about when he says, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the cravings of the wicked? See, Proverbs, again, where Proverbs is making this claim that there is a moral law in the universe, that God has set up the world in such a way so that, generally speaking, there's this cause and effect relationship between if you do good, you'll get good. If you do bad, you'll get bad. But again, that's not a 100% of the time thing. The Bible says this, if you choose to fear the Lord, verse 29, the one that I told you to underline, if you go about the most important things in your life the way God has told you to do that, generally speaking, there will be blessing in it for you. And this is what it means to actually fear the Lord, right? To fear the Lord means to take a position of humility, to take a posture that says, you are God and I'm not. It's to say, God, whatever you call good, I'm going to call good. Whatever you call bad, I'm going to call bad. I'm not going to rewrite what's right and what's wrong because I'm this tiny person on this little tiny planet. I've existed for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. You've always existed. You spoke the stars into existence. You created and sustained life. I don't even decide whether or not I get to get off this stage. I don't get to decide if I get another heartbeat. God does. All that is out of my control. So to fear the Lord means you're God. I'm not. However you tell me to use my sexuality, however you tell me to use my finances, however you tell me to do my parenting, I'm going to do that because you're God and I'm not. And so to fear the Lord means that we take this posture and we say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. And if we do that, Proverbs is saying, generally speaking, it's going to go better for us. And if we don't do that, there's a good chance that disaster is going to fall on our lives. And so, I just got back from Florida. And for those of you who don't know, I grew up in Miami, and my wife and I got to just go back and kind of see my old hood, as JD said, and we got to just hang out with a lot of my old high school friends. And you know, when you're catching up with people, the question always comes up: hey, you know, what are you doing now? Like, what, you know, how's life, and what are you doing? And whenever I tell any of my friends that I'm a pastor, they always think I'm joking. Always. Like, this one dude was like, I told him that I was like a pastor now, he started laughing in my face and like pointing at me like, you're a pastor? And I didn't know how to handle that. I was like, okay, that's not cool. This one friend of mine, he actually said this. He said, wow, that's great. You know, Nebraska must have some insanely low standards for pastors. I was like, man. At first, I was like, dude, that's harsh, you know? And as I was thinking about it, you know, I'm like, well, that might actually be accurate. I don't know. Like, City Light, they let me, JD, and Tyler up here. So, and we don't know what we're doing. We pray a lot, right? We ask Jesus to show up. We read our Bibles. But, I mean, we don't know a whole lot of times what we're doing. We just, like, pray and try stuff, right? That's kind of like what the whole Benson things is about, Benson days. My wife and I were in Florida, right? We're hanging out with my friends. And last Sunday comes. And, you know, again, I didn't get to be here with you guys. And it was crazy. Like, I missed you guys. Like, it was nuts. And we didn't know where to go to church. We had no idea. Like, man, like, where should we even go? I didn't know of any, like, really good, just churches, vibrant churches that I could go to and we could spend our Sunday in. But the thing that was really sad is that didn't always used to be the case. Right? When I would go home, I used to visit this church. It's in Lauderdale. It's called Coral Ridge Presbyterian. And Coral Ridge was led by this incredible communicator named Tullian Tavidjian. And if you guys have been a part at all of Christian subculture for like the last 4 years, then you've probably heard his name. Tullian is the grandson of Billy Graham. And if you don't know who Billy Graham is, he's like the Protestant version of the Pope. We just love Billy Graham. Like everyone thinks he's amazing, right? And so Tullian is the grandson of this guy, Billy Graham. And Tullian was this like Christian megastar, if you will. He had this huge church. He had tons of books, this phenomenal teaching. And I would go to this church in Fort Lauderdale every time I would go back and visit Florida and be in awe of the work that God was doing there. I mean, people were getting saved. The church was blowing up. It was awesome. And then about 2 years ago, disaster struck. Calamity fell on that church and on Tullian's family. It came out that Tullian was actually having an affair with one of the ladies in his church. And then in the blink of an eye, this church that was flourishing found itself without a pastor. Thousands of people now like just didn't have a pastor. His family got ripped apart by divorce, and now his kids are going to have to wrestle with, okay, is everything my dad told me about Jesus a lie? Right, this horrible disaster that Proverbs 1 talks about fell on the Tavidjian family because their dad, man, he chose not to fear the Lord, to turn a deaf ear to wisdom. And I'm not trying to throw this man under the bus, right? This is someone that I very much respect and I have learned a ton of things from. I don't want to hold him up as like the bad guy or whatever. But the reason I say this is, I mean, he actually wants us to learn from his mistakes. Like this is actually what he says about his own experience. He says, "I hope and pray that the events of my own life over the past couple of years serve as a warning to all who, like I did, believed they were standing firm. Sin is deep. It is real. It destroys and it deceives. May this be an opportunity for all of us to examine our own hearts and beg God for the mercy and the forgiveness that we all need." And guys, this is what I'm praying happens for us right now, is that this would be a time for us to examine our own hearts, to say, okay, what are the voices that I am prone to listen to instead of the wisdom of God? And so, I mean, do I believe that Tullian, you know, is saved? Yes, absolutely. Do I think that he knows Jesus? Yes. Like you cannot look at this man's work and how he talks about Jesus and think otherwise. But the problem is he stopped listening to wisdom. He started listening to the voices of the world that say, man, you're such a hard worker. You deserve a wife who appreciates you. They started telling him, hey, don't worry about confessing those sins or that desire that you find this other woman attractive to other people. You don't need to do that. You're a strong man. You can go through this thing by yourself. Don't worry about that. Okay, that's for weak people. That's for other people. And as a result, disaster fell on his life, on his family, on his church. And listen, none of us in this room are above that, right? None of us, pastors especially, right? We see that happening. We see it happening all the time, more times than we really want to admit, right? If we habitually choose to turn a deaf ear towards Lady Wisdom, if we choose to listen to the voices of our culture, chances are things are going to go badly, because who you listen to matters. It really, really matters. And what this whole section is talking about from verse 25 on down is that if you continually ignore wisdom, if you continually turn a deaf ear to what she's saying, eventually you're going to eat the fruit of your ways and you're not going to like the way it tastes. But listen, guys, there's hope. There's hope in the midst of all of this, right? That story doesn't have to be your story, okay? There's hope at the end of this text. I want to look at this last line of the text with you. We're going to transition to point number three, and that is hope. We're going to start in verse 32, and it says this: "For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me," that is, listens to Lady Wisdom, "will dwell secure and be at ease without dread of disaster." So kind of the flow of this passage has been deaf ears, disaster. But now there's this last sentence that says, "Whoever listens to me will dwell secure," excuse me, "and will be at ease without dread of disaster." So even though everyone around you, even though everyone in our culture or in your friend group might be listening to the voices of our culture, you can actually choose to listen to wisdom. She's making herself available to you. But I want to ask the question, what does that practically look like? What does that look like for all of us in this room to turn our ears towards the wisdom of God? I've got two ways and then I'm done. So number one, we gain wisdom through the correction of others, okay? We gain wisdom through the correction of others. See, Proverbs has a lot to say about gaining wisdom from other people. Proverbs continually says things like this: "Without counsel," so without someone like telling me things, "plans fail, but many advisors, they succeed." Or it says things like this: "A wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a mocker," or an Alex translation is "a dummy," so, "but a dummy does not respond to rebukes," okay? He doesn't respond to correction, right? And this last one says, "The teachings of the wise is like a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death." So the teachings of the wise is like a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. See, Proverbs is saying if you want to become wise, one of the first things we need to do is we need to listen to people. And listen, I could take those three verses out and exchange them for like 30 other verses in Proverbs that say these same things over and over and over again. We need to be able to gain wisdom, gain correction from other people, because Proverbs 16:25 says this, there's a way that seems right to a man that in the end leads to death. There's a way that seems right to me and you that in the end leads to destruction. See, Proverbs is continually harping on the person that thinks, I got it. I don't need anyone speaking into my life. I know how to handle my finances. I know how to raise my kids. I know what to do about everything. Proverbs is continually saying, man, if that's you, if that's the posture you want to take on life, you're a fool. Because it's so easy for us to get off track, right? It's so easy for us to think we're going about things the right way. But this just says it straight up, man. If there's a way that seems right to you, that in the end is going to lead to disaster. And so we need people in our lives that are going to challenge us, that are going to actually say, hey, man, I see this thing over here, and I don't think it's okay. And we have to be humble enough to take that correction and to go, all right, you've been maybe a Christian longer than I have, or maybe you have, maybe you're just a friend and you can see these things into my life. And we have to have the posture that says, okay, I know it. And so, guys, I want to challenge you, just as a church, to have some people in your life who you don't have any secrets around. Who you don't have any secrets with, who have been doing maybe this Christianity thing longer than you have, who can speak into your life. And if they say, hey, I don't think this is a good idea, would you listen to them? Would you also be willing to receive rebuke from like your spouse, you know, your husband or your wife? Because a lot of times they can see things in your life that you can't. And I know my first response when my wife wants to bring something to me is to get defensive. Right? It's to point out all the things in her life that I've seen that I think are wrong, right? But Proverbs is going to tell me, the wisdom of God is going to tell me, if you do that, you're a fool. We need to be willing to accept rebuke and correction from the people in our lives that are closest to us. Would we be willing to accept rebuke from our city group leaders, from our pastors? Because guys, we never outgrow the need for correction. Never. Proverbs 15:31 says, whoever listens, to life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. But whoever despises discipline despises themselves. We never outgrow the need for correction. None of us in here will ever outgrow that need. But if we do, if we listen to that life-giving correction, it says we will be at home among the wise. We'll become these wise people. And so number one, we want to gain wisdom. We have to receive correction from others. But point number two, the last thing that I have here, the last application, is if we want to listen to wisdom, if we want to gain wisdom, then we have to be in the Word. It's really, really simple and straightforward, but if the primary way, the absolute most primary and explicit way that we gain wisdom from God is we are in the Word of God. See, Colossians 1:24 calls Jesus the wisdom and the power of God. So all of these proverbs come straight from the mouth of Jesus. Jesus is the source of wisdom, right? So when you're spending time kind of in the Word of God, specifically in the book of Proverbs, you are gaining insights directly from the source of wisdom, right? We won't be able to figure out how to deal with and how to handle the most important areas of our lives if we're not around the Creator of life. And I know a bunch of you maybe in here are looking at me like, dude, that's the big takeaway. Like, I need to just read my Bible more. Like, that's what I came to church to hear today. And yes, I'm sorry. Like, yes, that is the biggest takeaway that I can give you guys, is because, man, if you want to be wise, you have to put yourself, you have to submit yourself to the wisdom of God, which is the main way we find that is in the Bible. And I know some of you guys, man, you've never read the Bible before, or you don't even know where to start. And I get that, because it can be really really intimidating. And I just want to let you know that we are coming up with a Bible reading plan that just kind of follows along the series that we're going to be preaching up here to just help you get in the Word more. And we're going to be coming out with this one for our fall series for the life of David. And I want to encourage you to follow it, to read the Bible and to gain wisdom and insight from the life of David. 1 and 2 Samuel have so much wisdom in it. It's crazy. Like, you'll be able to learn from David's failures. You'll be able to be encouraged by his success and eventually, hopefully, worship the God who offers grace, love, and forgiveness to everyone who would look for it. See, guys, Jesus for us is holding out his hand. And he's saying, would you take it and become wise? Would you learn from me and figure out how you can win at life, how you can live a life full of meaning and beauty and significance. He's calling out to everyone in this room and saying, I want to show you. Would you not turn a deaf ear to me? And I know there are those of us in this room that maybe have been following the voices of the culture, and we think maybe that it's too late for us, or that we don't know if we can actually turn to God or what that looks like. But I would just encourage you, man, it's never too late. It's not, if you are breathing, it is never too late to turn from what you're doing and turn towards Jesus Christ. He wants to show you. He wants to welcome you home. He wants to show you how to win at life. And so I want to ask you guys if you would just do this with me. Would you guys pray with me? Would you bow your heads? And would you just take a moment right now? You can hold out your hands. You can kind of do whatever you want and make yourself comfortable. And ask Jesus, ask the wisdom and the power of God that he would fill you, that he would make you a person that is wise, one who doesn't reject the correction of others, but one that actually receives it and becomes a person of wisdom. Would you ask God, if you've never followed Jesus before in your life, you've never said, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to actually start fearing you. I want to call what you say good, good, and what you call evil, evil. I want to submit myself to you and to your wisdom. Man, you can do that right now. You can just ask Jesus, man, would you become the Lord of my life? And would you make me wise?